Thou wilt be with us as we meet together around Thy feet, around Thy word, that Thou wilt speak to every heart. And we pray that Thou wilt do us good this day, in Jesus' name. Amen. We do welcome you all to our service this morning in the Lord's name. We trust the Lord will bless our coming together in the house of the Lord today. Could I just mention the fact that there are baskets at the exits for your offerings. Missionary Council retiring offering today, there will be a separate basket or baskets for this offering. The League of Church Loyalty prizes can be picked up by the boys and girls that leave the services today. This is for 2020. So if you can do that, boys and girls or parents, pick those prizes up as you leave today. We normally get the children to come out and receive the prizes, but with the restrictions, we're not doing that obviously this year, so you'll understand that. And then from 6:20 to 6:45, the pre-church prayer meeting in the youth room upstairs. And tonight in the Gospel at 7, we welcome you back again. And we're preaching on the subject, Great Words of the Gospel. Tonight, it is the subject of faith. The word faith, the truth about faith. That's tonight, 7. We trust you'll join us again for that time. And then on Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. is the Bible study and prayer meeting. And we're continuing our survey of the New Testament this week. It's the general epistle of Jude. So we're coming to the end of this study. We trust you'll join us. Good to see others coming out and meeting with us on the Tuesday evenings. If you haven't made it out yet, we trust you will this Tuesday at 8 p.m. It's 8 to 9 p.m. for the Bible study and prayer meeting. Thursday is a committee meeting, church committee at 7:30. Appreciate if all committee members could attend if possible. All items for the agenda by Wednesday night, if possible, please. Next Lord's Day, Sunday school at 10. It's the open Sunday school. We welcome boys and girls to come along to that as it's resumed again in recent weeks. And the doors open for public worship at 11. Public worship at 11:30. And the prayer meeting in the evening again, 6:20 to 6:45. Next Sunday night is Family and Friends Night Service, special testimony from Derek Preston, story of God's grace in his life, his recovery from cancer and coronavirus. Do invite others, if possible, to come to this service next Sunday evening. A message and song from messages and song from our sister Naomi Wilson. The communion service will be at the close of the 11:30 service on the 30th of May. We're going back to having it at the end of the service with the Sunday school now resumed, but it will be the same procedure. You'll bring your own bread and wine. Receptacles are available. If you haven't got a receptacle for the wine, you can get them next Lord's Day for that as you leave one of the services. Please remember that, and if you know and love the Lord, join with us. You just will remain in the seat where you sit for the service for the communion. That'll be announced as a reminder next Lord's Day again. Please remember all of the restrictions on entering and exiting while in the building. Trust the Lord will bless our coming together in His name. Also, a little book put out by Youth Council through our brother Chris Killen, Teaching the Truth. It's the first of these as in relation to drugs. And those are available at the exits. Please pick them up. They're free. And parents, young people, please do that. It's a very, very important book that has been produced. So we're going to join the singing of the paraphrase. We're continuing this paraphrase 49, which is based in 1 Corinthians 13. And we're at the remainder of the paraphrase from verse 11. Like children here, we speak and think, amused with childish toys. But when our powers their manhood reach, we scorn our present joys. So we'll keep our seats as we sing this paraphrase, and then we'll stand for prayer, please. Thank you. Our loving God and our gracious Father in heaven, we come into thy holy presence this morning through the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one God and mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And Father, we pray for thy presence and thy power in our midst today. We're conscious that we need thee, but we thank thee for this oasis in the desert of this world, this place where we can come to today, this house of God, where we can come and fellowship with thee and in fellowship with others of like precious faith. We can come and we can sing thy praises and we can hear thy word. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt bless our coming together today, that thou wilt meet with us in a very special and in a very powerful manner. We pray that thou wilt speak to every heart that is gathered amongst us today. Let us know the need of every life. Let us know every situation, every circumstance, that thy people and those gathered today and listening to this service find themselves in. We pray that thou wilt meet every need, that thou wilt work in every life, in the lives of we thy people, that thou wilt encourage us and strengthen us and correct us and sustain us and instruct us in the way of righteousness. And we pray for those who know thee not, that thou wilt bring them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that even this day they may come and trust in the finished work of Christ, that they may come and believe the gospel, that they may come and be saved and know the saving grace of God in truth. We pray for thy workings in our midst today. We know that thou art able to do great things. Thou art able to do mighty things that we have not yet known, not yet seen, not yet experienced. But Lord, we pray that these today and the days to come will be the experience of thy church. We cry for revival. Oh Lord, we thank thee for 100 years of this little country. We thank thee for all the history that we have. But Lord, while we rejoice in it, and while we recognize it, and we reflect upon it and learn from it, Lord, we cannot live in the past. We are now in a new century of Northern Ireland, a new 100 years. And therefore, we pray that thou wilt lead us forward. Lead us onward. Deliver us from pessimism. Deliver us, O God, from the spirit of unbelief. And give us faith to move forward and to go forward in the name of Christ. Remember that the Lord said to Moses, "Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." Lord, we pray that thou wilt help us to go forward. We know there's a sea before us. We know there are enemies surrounding us, behind us, before us, Lord, on every side. But we thank thee, O God, that thou art with us. We thank thee that thou hast said to thy people, "I will never leave thee. I will never, never, never leave thee, nor forsake thee." Thank you for the real strength of those words. And Lord, we pray that today, O God, thou wilt help us to be conscious of thy presence and know thy nearness. That this land once again will reverberate with the preaching of the word. That this land once again will know revival. That this land once again will know times of refreshing from the presence of God. Bless this little flock here. That, Lord, thou hast said, "Fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Lead us forward. Lead us onward. Give us grace to embrace the future. And, O God, to move forward in faith, knowing that God is able to do great things for us. Father, we come for those, O God, who need thy touch today. Those of our number who are not able to be here because of sickness, whether they're ill at home or in a hospital bed or in a nursing care accommodation. That thou wilt, Lord, be with all such today. Remember others, O God, who have deep problems and needs in situations, Lord, that they need special prayer and intervention. We pray for all such, whether it be in their mind or in their body, that thou wilt touch them today and that thou wilt heal them, if it is thy will. Remember thy people, those who are gathered with us, those who cannot feel that they can yet come and are unable to come through circumstances as yet, that thou wilt bless them and, Lord, that thou wilt encourage them. And soon we will have everyone back. Soon everyone who's able to come will be here with us in the house of God. We thank you for the vaccination program. What has taken place over these months since the start of this year. And we thank Thee for even some restrictions being relaxed so that people can mingle with their families and get out a little bit more day by day. We pray, Father, that Thou will help us all to be wise, to be careful, but also, Lord, to embrace these things. And we pray that we might know Thy presence and Thy grace. Be with us now. Bless the Sunday school that has already taken place. Thy word already spoken to the boys and girls. Encourage those involved in that and those children who have been there. And we pray that all of us today will move forward in Thy will. Bless our churches. Bless our ministers. Remember those ministers who are ill at this time. We pray for healing. For those who have been hospitalized. For those who are ill at home among Thy servants. Touch them and heal them. Restore them to health. Bless our missionaries. Bless the needs right across the world. Bless our land in all its desperate need. Intervene, Lord, we pray. Rise up to help us. Now bless us with Thy presence. In Jesus' name, for God's eternal glory. Amen. You may be seated. Well, boys and girls, we're turning to the story of Noah again. And we've been in this story in recent times, boys and girls. And we've been looking at the story of Noah and how the family of Noah, his family went into the ark. And boys and girls, we noted that they were safe in the ark. But we noted also that the door was shut, boys and girls. The door was shut. And so those who were in the ark were safe. But those who were outside of the ark, of course, they faced the judgment and the judgment of the flood. Boys and girls, it was a time of great judgment. The world, of course, thought that all was well. They were engaging in their pleasures, as men and women are today. No thought about God. No thought about the things of God. But you know, boys and girls, it's just like today. Because the Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And so, boys and girls, we have a similar situation today in this world. No thought of God. No thought of the things of God today. In our society, men and women and young people living for this world. Boys and girls, how important it is to be in the ark. And the ark speaks of Christ. And how important it is, boys and girls, to have your faith in Jesus Christ and to know that you're safe and secure in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you're trusting in Him. Are you, boys and girls, trusting in the Lord this morning? Have you invited the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart? Or are you like these people? No thought, no concern about your need of Christ. Will you invite Jesus into your heart this morning? Don't be like these people, boys and girls. In Noah's time, don't be like the people of this world today. No time for God, no thought for God. But give your heart while you're young to Jesus Christ. Give your life to Jesus Christ. Turn to Him this morning and trust Him as your own and personal Savior. Now we're going to sing a little chorus, boys and girls. And it's deep and wide, and you know how to do the actions for it. We'll just sing it through the once this morning. We're keeping our seats, of course, as we sing. And let's see how you're singing it and doing the actions for this little chorus. reading together from the Word of God in 1 Corinthians 13 again, this portion we've been in recent weeks, and we're reading from the opening verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1, let us hear the Word of God this morning. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it is profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail; whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. But now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. Amen. And we know that God will bless the reading of His precious word to our hearts. We've come to another hymn. It's 202 in the book, but it's on the screen. In tenderness He sought me, weary and sick with sin, and on His shoulders brought me back to His fold again. While angels in His presence sang till the gates of heaven rang. Then after the singing of this hymn, we will stand for prayer. We'll remain seated for the hymn and then stand for prayer after. stand for prayer, please? Father in heaven, we come now to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must prevail. We ask in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to draw your attention again to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We've been in this chapter, as we've said, in recent weeks. And the subject is Christ-like love. Christ-like love. This agape love that is mentioned in this chapter. And what a chapter this is. And what challenges it brings to our hearts as individual believers and to the church body as well. We have asked the question a number of times in this study. Can you and I put our names in here, into this chapter? Can this church, Ballygan FPC, put its name in here? Last week we began to look at the characteristics of this Christian love, or this Christ-like love, verses 4 to 7 of the portion of Scripture. And of course they are listed here. And in fact, if you look at them closely, there are 15 of them in all. And I think if my counting is correct, we got through 7 of them last Lord's Day morning. So we did pretty well in the time that we had. And we looked at verse 4 and into verse 5. And we finished with this love that seeketh not her own. This selfless love. What a love that is. And of course we emphasized already that this love is manifested in the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. In the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, He wants that to be manifested in us. He wants the replica of this love to be seen in our lives from day to day. And let us understand that Christian love is the distinguishing mark of the Christian life. It is this distinguishing mark of the Christian life. And so we will continue with this list here. And we go down here and look again at 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. And we look at the words there, is not easily provoked. Is not easily provoked. What a shattering statement. It simply means that love is not bad-tempered. It's not bad-tempered. And you know, my friends, there is no sin that so disrupts a home, that so spoils a Christian family, that so ruins children in their upbringing, a sheer bad temper. Bad-tempered people in the home. It's often excused as something people cannot help. But it demonstrates a lack of love. Jonathan Edwards had a daughter who had a violent temper. A young man had fallen in love with her. And he asked Jonathan Edwards for her hand in marriage. Edwards refused him. And when he asked why, Edward said, she is not worthy of you. The young man queried it further and said, why is she not a Christian? To which Edward replied, yes, she is. But the grace of God can live with some people with whom no one else could live. Now, he was being brutally honest. And brutally honest about his own daughter. And don't we often say of people, I can't be in their company. They irritate me. I want to stay away from them. And so we are easily provoked. We are easily provoked. But look at the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter refers to this in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And in the verses there,
in verses 23 and 24. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the context, of course, if you read the preceding verses. And then he says, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. What an example the Lord Jesus Christ has left before us, men and women. He was not easily provoked. And he who had every provocation against him, yet he was not easily provoked. Of course, love can be angry with sin. But love, this agape love, is never irritable or touchy. The Lord Jesus Christ was angry with sin, but he was never angry at wrong done to himself. And people say to me, what about when he went into the temple and did what he did there and in Matthew chapter 21 and dealt so strongly with those who were buying and selling in the temple? Look at the chapter. Well, it's a very good question, of course. The people may ask that question, and it's very good that they would do that. Very important question. In Matthew 21, verses 12 and 13, Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. You see, the answer is here that the Lord was angry at his house being profaned. That's what he was angry with. It was not about being provoked about a personal attack on his person, but he was concerned here for God's glory. Again, we may examine in the life of Paul the Apostle how he became righteously angry with sin. It was not because of how he personally was treated, the floggings that he endured, the imprisonments that he endured. He was not bellyaching about that. No, my friend. It was a righteous indignation against sin. Jesus was never vindictive. Never did he retaliate. Do you find yourself today temperamental, thin-skinned, easily provoked, quick to be resentful. But my friend, this love, according to Paul writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit here, is not easily provoked. The truth is that we become provoked unless the Holy Spirit puts love into our hearts. One of the first verses we referred to in the study a few weeks ago is that verse in Romans where Paul speaks about the love of God being shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which is given unto us. Is the love of God shed abroad in your heart today, Christian? It's not too hard to keep our patience until we get stuck in a traffic jam and someone suddenly pulls out in front of us. And then we're up and we're saying, look at that stupid woman or stupid man. What do they think they're doing? And we become irritated. Very quickly, I see some people nodding and even laughing because I suppose we can all put ourselves into that situation. But Paul is saying, love is not touchy or sensitive. Young people may say, love doesn't blow its cool. The Lord Jesus Christ had more opportunities to become provoked than any other person who walked on the face of this earth. And yet he never, never, never became irritated. Isn't that amazing? Christ-like love. You say, I'm not perfect. But we need to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be more Christ-like in our living, in our attitudes, in our actions toward other believers and toward people in general in this world. And so, it's not easily provoked. The next thing is here, if you look at it, think of no evil. What's the meaning here? Well, the sense of the word here is to credit to someone's account. You see, this love will always keep a record of the kindnesses it receives and be thankful for them. But this love will not keep a record of wrongs it has suffered with a view of keeping even. I believe that nowadays they have this thing the size of a credit card, and you use it, you can use it in your car, you can hitch it up, and you can put on this, I suppose it's like a memory stick or something like that there, and instead of writing on a pad things that you want to remember, you can use this, and you can record it, and then it's recorded on this. I don't know how many it holds, but maybe you've already got it. But I know it's out there somewhere. You can remember all these things. But this love does not cherish in its memory a list of injustices. This agape love has an amazing power to forget. I've heard that in Polynesia, people hang objects from the roofs of their huts, to remind them of misdeeds that have been done against them, that they intend to pay back. And also, if they go away from their village, they carry them on their belts. Likewise, some married couples keep a similar list of grievances and have serious problems as a result. A young married man told his friend, "You know, every time my wife and I have an argument, she gets hysterical." And his friend said to him, "You mean hysterical?" "No," he replied, "every time we get into an argument, she reminds me of everything I have ever done wrong." Now you may laugh at that, and we can all laugh at it. But isn't it true that many times we will bring up things that have gone in the past, and we keep returning to them? Because why, we may say, "I've forgiven," but we haven't forgotten. And we keep raising it again. It's like that memory thing, isn't it? You can put it on. You can listen to it. Why not erase it? Why not delete it? Why not remove it from our memories? Jesus could have said, "They hit me 20 times with a whip. They put that crown of thorns so cruelly on my brow." But he didn't keep count. Instead, he forgave those who mistreated him. He forgave them. You see, my friends, the Lord Jesus Christ came to blot out our transgressions, to remember them against us no more forever. Isn't that wonderful? Even if you're not saved this morning, that the Lord Jesus Christ can so deal with your sin. That sin that so weighs you down. That sin that is such a burden to you. That sin that is unforgiven. But thank God the Lord Jesus Christ is willing to blot it out today. And to remember it no more against you forever. To put your sins in the sea of His forgetfulness. Never to be remembered against us again. Has that ability been imparted to your life and mine? What we build up a list of wrongs done to us and bide our time, and we say, "I'll get that person in the long grass. I'll get back at them. I'll retaliate when the time is right." It was said of Abraham Lincoln that he never forgot a kindness, but he had no room in his mind for the memory of a wrong. In fact, I was reading recently about Lincoln. There was a man called Stanton who treated Lincoln terribly, said some awful things about him. And yet, when someone said to Lincoln about giving him a position in his administration, he said, "I will be giving him a position. He's the right man for the job." You see, he didn't bring up what had happened in the past. He didn't. He forgot it. He acted in love. And this is so challenging, isn't it? Because maybe all of us have that wee cupboard that we open every so often in our minds, or maybe it's that memory stick that we need to erase, or we need to delete, and we keep going back to it and back to it, and we keep harboring on and on about it, and it's destroying us. It's destroying our testimony. It's destroying our usefulness for Christ. And then, let us go on as the Lord leads here to verse 6. "Rejoiceth not in iniquity." In other words, love does not delight in exposing the weaknesses of other people. It will weep over sin. It will be brokenhearted over failure. It will condemn the sin. But love will always yearn to cover and protect the person who has fallen. How the Lord Jesus Christ yearned over sinners. And how often he sought to protect them from the injustices of others. You go to John 8 as a prime example of this. The Lord Jesus Christ, in his interview with a woman taken in adultery, he did not condone her sin, but he protected and forgave the sinner. And that is so evident if you read that passage of God's Word. And this is a very searching test of character. Are you brokenhearted at the misfortune or breakdown of other people? Or do you have a tendency to gloat over them secretly, delight and gossip about them, and say hurtful things about them? Love does not do that. In other words, love would rather hear good news about someone than bad news. When a piece of juicy gossip comes our way, do we want to believe the best about the person mentioned, or do we want to believe the worst? And this is a great challenge in this day of social media, that people will put something out about someone on social media. And they will do that. And it's a bit of gossip that they will spread. And it goes viral on social media. Be careful how you use social media. People use it for very good reasons, but be careful how you use it, because you could be doing great damage to someone's character and not acting in a Christian manner. In the spirit of love, what a challenge this is. The Christian who is loved rejoiceth not in iniquity. Look at Philippians chapter 4. I was thinking about this verse just recently. Philippians 4 verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Now sometimes we lift a newspaper and we see this juicy piece of gossip that some journalist has written about someone. And they talk about journalistic license. But it may well even be lies that they're writing. And yet we take it up and you say, we go on to someone else and we say, "Did you hear about that person? Look what's in the paper today. Or look what's on the program tonight about that person, or last night." Bible says, we're to think about things that are pure, things that are honest, things that are just, things that are of good report. Think on these things. And if we have this agape love, brethren and sisters, we will think on these things. Gossip is the way to hurt people and to harm people and to destroy people.
It is mischievous. It is wicked. It is evil. Gossiping about people's sins is harmful to those people instead of praying for their salvation or their restoration if they've gone away from God. And then verse 6, rejoiceth in the truth. See the marginal rendering, with the truth. You see, joy, truth, and love are interwoven together. Matthew Henry says, love expresses itself in truth. It is glad. When truth prevails, love does not tell lies. It does not cheat or deceive. It is characterized by integrity. But there is no rejoicing when truth is forsaken. Look at 2 John. The second epistle of John. And verses 4 to 6. And see what it says. I rejoice greatly that I find thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. Now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had had from the beginning, that we love one another. You see, love is interwoven here with it. And this is love, that we walk after His commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. Love and truth. Obeying God's commandments. Can you put your name yet in this chapter? Can this church put its name in this chapter? We're going on now to verse 7. We're getting through well this morning. Verse 7. Beareth all things. What does it mean? To cover as a roof, or to protect and to bear up. That's the sense. Love suffers wrong without retaliation. That's the negative aspect of the statement. But love gets under the load of life and bears it to the limit. That's the positive. Beareth all things. Love patiently endures what it has to suffer. It is not shaken by ingratitude. It is proof against hardship and reproach. The Lord Jesus Christ patiently bore all the wrongs and all the injustices. And what did He pray on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. At the same time, He put His shoulder under that load of sin, and He bore the crushing burdens of others on the cross. What a wonderful example. Christ-like love. Beareth all things. And my friend, Corrie ten Boom said this, you never so touch the ocean of God's love as when you forgive and love your enemies. You never so touch the ocean of God's love as when you forgive and love your enemies. The story is told of a young woman in love with a young man in Cromwell's time. And when she was to be married, it was discovered that the young man was to be executed for some trivial offense. She appealed to the Lord Protector, Cromwell himself, to commute the sentence, but he refused her. And he said to her, when the curfew bell rings tonight, he will be executed. The bell ringer went to ring the bell at the time allotted for it to be rung. But it wouldn't ring. He pulled and pulled, and all he could hear was a dull thud. It refused to ring. So he gave up in the end, and he decided to go up into the bell tower to see what was wrong. And there he found in the housing of the bell the body of this young woman. She was taken down. Her body was battered and bloodied and bruised. Cromwell commuted the sentence against the young man. What love that girl had to do that.
The poet wrote about this incident, and he said this in his writings. At his feet she told her story, showed her hands all bruised and torn, and her sweet young face still haggard with the anguish it had borne. Touched his heart with sudden pity, lit his eyes with misty light. "Go, your lover lives," said Cromwell. "Curfew will not ring tonight." What a wonderful example of love. Beareth all things. Oh, men and women, young people today, may this love prevail in our lives, in this church, for the glory of God's name. I've been so challenged by this chapter. I trust you have been challenged about my own life, the things we say, attitudes we adopt, actions we are involved in. Matthew Henry said this, "Brotherly love is the badge of Christ's disciples." Alford said, "Love is the binding power which holds the body of the Christian church together." J.C. Ryle, the great Protestant bishop of Liverpool, he said, "This love should be the silver thread that runs through all our conduct. The silver thread that runs through all our conduct. Let it be seen in our homes. Let it be seen in our lives. Let it be seen in the church." And let me say to you, if you're not saved, God loves you. No matter what your sins are, God sees your sin and condemns it, but God has provided a cure for your sin. And that cure is the precious blood. And that blood is available to cleanse you today, make you clean. May the Lord bless His love, His word to our hearts. Christ-like love. Amen. Let us pray. Father, bless Thy word. We pray to our hearts today. Lead us in the pathway of this love. We ask of Thee for Jesus' sake. Amen. Returning to our closing hymn, the great hymn of George Matheson, of course, about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, "O love that will not let me go." Dr. Paisley wrote a verse of this hymn as well, and we trust that you will sing it with your heart unto the Lord. We remain seated as we sing, and then we will stand for the closing prayer, please. Thank you.
Father, give to us this wonderful love, this Christ-like love. Lord, may thy love be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit is given unto us. Lord, give me this love today. Give me this love. Give my brethren and sisters here this love. Give this church this love. Give the believing people of God across this world this love. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen. You may be seated.